Gopal Chambu, Chapter 19, Surrender of Indra and Krishna as Lord of the Cows. In the dawn lit by the effulgence of the assembly of the two young reciters, Madhukant began speaking. On the first auspicious full lunar day, Govardhan manifested his powers. From the third lunar day to the ninth day, Krishna attractively lifted Govardhan. On the tenth lunar day, made attractive by the previous situation, the most learned residents, after dining at his invitation and chewing betel to purify their mouths, began to discuss the incident at the assembly of Nanda. From seeing him lift Govardhan, they began to recount all the impossible events starting from the killing of Putana, without omitting any. They said, lifting the mountain continually, he endured a heavy load, but he did not tremble at all. The rain fell outside, but not within the mountain. His great power is most astonishing and beyond normal conduct. But though this is true, we and others are astonished by his being the natural object of the greatest affection. That affection which is seen in people like us is most outstanding by its uniqueness. Everyone naturally has attraction for their sons, but we cannot give up attraction to your son. Everyone has this attraction for Krishna. O Nanda, remembering all this, we cannot speak at all or use reasoning. Listening attentively, Nanda felt bliss. Then with great affection, with the permission of all present, he repeated the words of Garga, and out of pure affection destroyed the doubt that had arisen about Krishna's glorious activities. This is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. O cowherd men, just hear my words, and let all your doubts concerning my son be gone. Some time ago, Garga Muni spoke to me as follows about this boy. From the time Garga instructed us and left, I know that Krishna performs remarkable activities because of the Shakti of Narayan within him. Hearing Nanda's words, they became satisfied. When all the people made Nanda joyful by hearing about his son who gave joy to all, suddenly Krishna, praised and overjoyed by his leading group of friends, entered with Balaram. The assembly surrounded him like a halo around the moon. They tasted his beauty like chakora birds. They became joyful in the presence like lotuses. Their limbs became liquid like moonstones. They swelled with joy like the ocean. When this happened and all were in this situation, after a few moments from their houses where Lakshmi resided, they brought white, yellow, and blue cloth as well as ornaments for Krishna, Balaram, and Nanda to wear. Just as the men acted in the assembly, the women in the inner chambers decorated Rohini and Yashoda. Thus there was a festival outside and inside. Now Indra and Swarga should be described. Departing from Braj and thinking of his miserable condition devoid of his powers, he went to his house, but desired his own destruction. He did not desire his wife and did not go to the assembly of devatas. Hearing what had happened, Brihaspati came and scolded him in private, since he was the priest of the devatas. He scolded him as follows. O Indra, because you do not worship Vishnu, you will not flourish, just as trees cannot grow without the moon. It is not surprising that intoxication with pride has overcome a person like you, since you are the leader of the devatas and a master of intoxication. But how did you, who drank nectar, become like a dead person? You become insane, giving up life by not eating. The wise say, he who gives fear to the gentle and touches dead bodies should not be touched, like a person who, in spite of bathing, remains untouchable. O hero, this has happened because of your indiscretion. If a person rejects the Antaryami, who is his support, and rejects Paramatma, who is protection, he is called insane. Indra said, without thinking, I did this act. Now please instruct me something suitable. Brihaspati said, when such irregularity occurs, only Brahma can rectify the situation. Your only solution is to follow his advice. Full of grief, Indra went respectfully to Brahma and without hesitation revealed his offense. Brahma said, Ah, though you are the leader of the devatas, you are ignorant. Thus you have committed a great offense which could only be accomplished with great effort. Just on hearing you have done such a thing, the wise will block their ears. Having the misfortune of desiring to create the universe, I must instruct you. Desiring to know the Lord's power, you showed audacity. considering this an intolerably poisonous sin, I am not able to cleanse you of your grave offense. However, Gotama and the others have said, one should tickle the cows, feed them, and circumambulate them. If you always please the cows, Krishna will be pleased. Eager to obtain forgiveness of Krishna, who has great affection for cows, you must serve the mother of cows, Surabhi. If you do not, she will side with the demons. Afraid of the demons, Indra went to Surabhi's planet and pleased Surabhi repeatedly, though she was disturbed when he explained his offense. He returned to Brahma with Surabhi. Brahma said, O Surabhi, go to Krishna in order to remove Indra's fear. Remove the bad meaning of the name of Indra, who is called having bad conduct in the assembly of the learned. Make Goloka visible in the material world with your wealth of cows, which makes Vaikuntha seem limited. Krishna will attain that position of king of Goloka if you bathe him and serve him. On the 11th lunar day, Surabhi came to Vrindavan on earth with Indra and waited for an opportunity. From far off, Surabhi spoke to Indra. This is not a cloud, but Govardhan. This is not part of Govardhan, but Krishna. This is not lightning, but his moving cloth. This is not the rumbling of clouds, but his joking. Look, Garuda is flying high above us, desiring the shelter of the cloud filled with lightning, who is sitting in the shade of Govardhan. He is sitting on a white cloth spread on the gems of Govardhan. His left hand is placed on his lotus foot, resting on his left thigh, and his right hand holds the most beautiful flute. With a smiling glance, it seems he showers mercy. He is willing to meet us, and he has sent his friends away on errands. It is certain that Balaram has not come today. Go in front of him with grieving heart when no one is there. Offer respects and please him. The person of superior power, unto whom the offense has been committed, and who can remove the offense, rarely sees the miserable offender. If one offers respects to the person offended in a private place, one's miserable state will invoke the mercy of even an ordinary person. What to speak of an elevated person? I will approach later to make some special request. Following Surabhi's instructions, Indra approached Krishna in private and fell down to his feet. When Indra offered respects, Krishna's toenails shone brilliantly among Indra's crown jewels. When Indra's lotus eyes began to flow with tears like honey, Krishna's two nails became like moons. When he wept, Krishna, being a little taken aback, raised him up with his hand affectionately and spoke to him. O Lord, do not do such unsuitable acts. You are the only shelter of all worlds of the wise. When he placed his hands on Indra's head, shamed Indra remained silent as if struck by a thunderbolt. Who will not become the devotee of that person who is strong and affectionate and can bind another's body by his power and his mind by his words? Krishna's power and affection influenced Indra. Acting like the moon on others, Krishna acted like the sun on Indra. Indra acted like the sun on others, but acted like a firefly in front of Krishna. When Indra was silent, Krishna remained mute. When Indra began praising him, Krishna became eloquent. No one can describe how Indra spoke when praising Krishna. O Nanda, controlling himself, Krishna is becoming shy in front of you. Not noticing his disregard, Indra then concluded, My dear Lord, when my sacrifice was disrupted, I became fiercely angry because of false pride. Thus I tried to destroy your coward community with severe rain and wind. Smiling, Krishna spoke, My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. Remembering me, you should not surpass the best devotees like my father. If the devatas become proud of their opulence, the brahmanas will become proud of eating fish. O Indra, I will uproot your enemies. Why do you fear me? Please act properly. Seeing from a distance that Indra had lost his fear, Surabhi mooed and called the other cows. Knowing what to do, with eager eyes she approached Krishna. When Krishna saw Surabhi offering respects as a cow, he smiled. Folding his hands in reverence, he spoke, O mother, why have you come? Though desiring to give all blessings, she could not do so. She said, My species has become fortunate. They have come to earth to do service to you. I am not fortunate since I cannot see you. However, you are the killer of demons and the protector of all planets. I also dwell on these planets. You are naturally my master. I pray as follows. The Goshukta says that the cows are the abode of the devatas in all festivals. Accept the position of Indra for the cows and be worshipped by Brahma and the devatas. Protecting the devatas up to Brahma as a small show of your power. Goloka has such power that it overshadows Vaikuntha. The sun illuminates a house because it illuminates the universe. Since you protect everyone, you also protect a small portion of it. This is not only my idea, but the opinion of Brahma, so that foolish Indra will be purified. We cows are the object of your mercy. Indra has taken shelter of us as a medium of your mercy. As a thirsty man seeks a well to get its water, Indra seeks us to receive your mercy. O Lord, please look. Seeing your lotus feet, Indra is bathing them with tears from his thousand eyes. When Krishna, with a modest expression in his eyes, gave permission, Surabhi, along with Narada, Aditi, Indra, Varuna, and the Gandharvas, quickly prepared to worship him by bathing him in order to get his mercy. Surabhi said, O moon of Nanda's family, at this place all the sacred places, such as Yamuna, have become successful by serving the feet of you, your friends, and your relatives. The cows have become fortunate because you have drunk their milk. I request permission to use some of this milk and some water from the Ganga, the sacred river of heaven, so that milk from my udder does not become useless. I will do as you say. Smiling, Krishna said, Do as you please. With the movement of Indra's brow, Airavata carefully raised his trunk upwards and quickly brought a jeweled pot full of water from Ganga in the heavens. Surabhi filled up Indra's sarovara near the mountain with milk. Indra, with strong bhakti in his heart, along with his relatives and protectors of the directions, bathed Krishna while the Gandharvas danced and sang, and the sages uttered mantras and Brahma and Shiva shouted, Victory and bliss. By this they all bathed in the nectar of happiness. Aditi performed a mother's duties, Parvati performed a sister's duties, Garuda performed a servant's duties, and they all attained bliss. When the devatas bathed him, Krishna's beauty spread in all directions. The fragrance of his limbs in contact with the perfumed substances traveled throughout the universe. Waves of auspicious sound entered the ears of the elephants of the directions. Though all living beings became happy because of the spread of bliss, Kamsa was surrounded by lizard-like leaders shaking their heads. When Krishna had protected everyone in all directions, the devatas then spoke. As Krishna protects all the people everywhere, his abode, Goloka, the shelter of hundreds of trillions of Lakshmis, is most worthy of praise among all planets in the spiritual world. As you reside there with the name Govinda, you should protect this world using that name. At that moment, a voice in the sky said, Govinda, and flowers fell. What can be astonishing is this. Indra presented him an umbrella, the sun god gave him attractive ornaments, Brahma gave him a blue lotus, Shiva gave him a flute that he had made, and the other devatas gave various gifts, which became most remarkable after being given to him, as the gifts became objects of worship after being used to worship the devatas of his limbs. At that time, a throne and an attractive umbrella appeared. Two chamaras began fanning him. He wore shining cloth. Seeing him, his friends with unblinking eyes remained motionless like pictures for a few moments. Blissful from being bathed by the glance of lotus-eyed Govinda, the devatas became even more blissful than before. Placing their gifts, such as an umbrella, on the trees, they repeatedly offered respect to his feet for their own benefit. With tears in their eyes, admitting their offense, the devatas, who had been scolded and forgiven, took permission and departed. Krishna's friends, full of joy, gradually approached him. Coming forward, they saw him, worshipped him, spoke to him, embraced him, and smelled him. Seeing the umbrella and other items, they inquired repeatedly. He hid the incident from them, and thus they were not aware of it. At every moment, laughter indicating their joy increased. He decorated them with the ornaments given by the devatas, and they served him with a gold-handed chamara and other gifts. Krishna and his friends appeared like kings. Seeing Krishna served by boys with similar qualities, form, and nature, The Devatas considered that the boys had gained powers given by Krishna as a result of their accumulated knowledge. They concluded that these powers bestowed by him were simply various results gained by their prema. Nothing else could give these results. In this way, when the Devatas had begun to depart, their departure was interrupted when they became stunned. When Shiva and others saw Krishna's powers, they became completely astonished. When the Devatas worshipped Krishna, all people became happy. The cows showered the earth with milk. The rivers flowed with various flavors. The trees flowed with honey. The mountains held jewels on their peaks, and inimical animals became friends. When a great person is worshipped, even persons who do not worship become happy. If the heart simply trembles on thinking of Indra's cruel actions, how can the heart describe that nature in words? If the heart simply melts on thinking of the mercy shown by Krishna, how can the heart reveal that mercy in words? When the sun embraced the sunset mountain, Krishna realized it was getting late. Quickly he gathered the cows and returned to Braj with his friends. Sprinkled with unequaled flowers by the Devatas who respected him, he went with the others who were walking. Serving Krishna by holding umbrella and chamara, his friends sang while Devatas showered flowers. With beauty endowed with glory, he entered his house. Hearing about and seeing his limbs adorned with divine ornaments, everyone became full of sattvika bhavas. Hearing the news, Balaram with joyful heart came some distance and seeing his younger brother embraced him in happiness and smelled his head. Sitting with him for some time, he spoke with him. Taking permission from Krishna, Balaram took off all the divine ornaments brought from the heavens. Not wanting the elders to see him in that opulent condition, he then brought Krishna to Braj. Letting the milkmen milk the cows, Nanda on that day put Krishna in front with his friends and Balaram, and sat there blissfully with his friends in order to understand about the incident. When Sridham and the other truthful friends arrived, they took permission from Krishna and began worshipping Nanda and the assembly with the umbrella and chamara, satisfying them all. Then clearly Nanda said, "Please tell us what happened." Sridham said, "To gather the cows we went far away for a long time. Thus we were not able to see anything directly, but all these things naturally announce that they are divine." Krishna was acting shy, but everyone understood and said, "That is correct, Sridham. That is the truth." All the elder cowards then became motionless like pictures for a moment with unblinking eyes. Then Madhu Mangal said in a loud voice, "O Nanda, please listen. First the cow began speaking. Then someone with 1,000 eyes offered respects. A white elephant took water from heaven and sprinkled it. Someone with 4 heads and 5 heads began reciting praises. Many people bathe your son with great festivity." Nanda and the citizens thought they should perform some auspicious acts, but remained immobile. A voice then spoke from the sky, "O Nanda, just as we gathered and installed your son as Govinda, you should gather together, ornament your son, and install him as the prince." Filled with joy and pride by those sweet words, the elders began considering among themselves. With unprecedented auspicious music, having brahmanas chant auspicious blessings and giving gifts to all, they produced a festival and respected Krishna as the king of the town. The women headed by Yashoda arrived, and holding jeweled lamps in their hands, performed auspicious rites. Offering arti, respects, and heaps of gems, they carefully led him into the house as if he were affection personified. "O Nanda, you have given birth to a son who brings joy to my mouth by reciting his glories, and who has brought happiness to the earth, the cows, and the heavens by taking the post of the Lord of the Cows. The universe has become joyful with Krishna's coronation. The demons have become unfortunate and blind." As previously, the topic ended at night in the assembly of the Sakhis. Madhukanta then said, "As special medicine has a nourishing effect, whether taken in great or small amounts, so food taken in great or small amounts has a nourishing effect. Thus, though the description is brief, take it as if it were extensive." At that festival, crowds of young women such as Radha came along with the married women and their children. When they came near, their eyes, though covered by cloth, became filled with longing. In their minds, the festivity was equivalent to a marriage. Is there any cowherd girl fortunate enough to marry Krishna? The Creator, who gives qualification to all others, does not make Krishna visible to us. Let us curse the Creator. Let that be, but it is most unjust. We have been born in good families. We have great beauty and the best qualities. Our life airs have risen into our throats because of such intense love. The lifeless flute does not have such favorable qualities, but has attained his association, whereas we have not. That lowly flute gains happiness by sucking Krishna's mouth. Having a desire to be on his chest, you embrace his throat. Your diameter is that of a small piece of rope. But Krishna, you and others who see you have no reservations at all about this. You are the most fortunate. In their minds, the women spoke as follows. Some women manage to see Krishna fully by good fortune. Some have seen only half of him. Others have seen one-third of him. Some have not seen him at all. All act similarly, for what they imagine in their minds about him brings only sorrow. That night, Krishna lay down on the roof terrace, but the arrows of the women's glances in the afternoon pierced his heart. In pain, he lay awake till midnight, and in order to reveal his suffering to Radha and others, he began playing on the flute given by Shiva. His playing, the Kedara Raga, produced a field, Kedara, in the night, in which the gopis sowed the seeds of desire and made it sprout. The people of Mathura used the word tu to mean twam, you. The sound tu emerged from the flute at every moment. When Krishna made every gopi simultaneously hear that word through his flute at night, they all immediately fainted. The gopis acknowledged the attraction which rose from the song of the flute played secondarily for them, but Radha, the main object of his song, became unconscious at that time. Making a short period seem like a kalpa, the reciter then gradually slackened his pace to finish the story. O Radha, here is your lover, whom you have attained after much hardship. He cannot at all be happy without you. When the story had been told in brief, the women remained silent for several muhurtas, 1 hour and 36 minutes, which passed like a few seconds. Then they returned to their houses.